We have three short scripture passages this morning, all of which are in your bulletin, so I encourage you to read along or in the translation of your choice. Our first one comes from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, one which we used last week. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11 from the New Living Translation. But if there are any poor Israelites in your towns, when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Do not be mean-spirited and refuse someone a loan because the year for canceling debts is close at hand. If you refuse to make the loan, the needy person cries out to the Lord, you will be guilty of sin. Give generously to the poor, not grudgingly, for the Lord your God will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some in the land who are poor. That is why I am commanding you to share freely with the poor and with other Israelites in need. And finally, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 36. This is from the parable of the sheep and the goats. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, we are continuing in our Stewardship Month sermon series, Loving Generously. And for the last 2 weeks, our understanding of generosity has been expanded from transactional giving to relational giving. We've learned that relational giving, or giving of ourselves to those in need, begins where transactional giving ends. And we've been challenged to consider two questions. Who are we inviting into our lives? And last week, what do we own and what owns us? The resources we have been given are not for our sake alone, but they are for the sake of others. They become a means by which we help others in Christ's name. And when we care for others, as Proverbs chapter 19 tells us, we are actually caring for the Lord, who identifies with those who are in need. That's a challenging thought. I think sometimes we don't consider. Amen? Because if we did, we'd probably give more freely. Amen? You will see this again as pictured in our film for today.
It's a good idea, right?
It's always a good idea.
to you about Junior.
Can we talk to the girls? Talk to the girls.
We want to talk to you.
How did you do?
Oh, everybody, calm down. Great. That's too grand. She don't know you anything anymore.
Leave her home.
Advisor,
but then hang on. You said $2,000.
Hey, get lost. Police.
You're under arrest.
What?
Hands behind your back, man.
Come on, man. I didn't do anything.
And that goes for the rest of you as well. You're under arrest for solicitation.
What? What?
Hands behind your back.
Hey.
I'm telling you, this is a misunderstanding.
What's that? A misunderstanding? You hear that, guys? Both owe me $20. It's always a misunderstanding.
Just call my wife. She'll tell you.
Wait. You want me to call your wife?
Yeah, this is really not what it looks like. She'll back us up.
Can't wait till the guys down at the club hear about this one. I should have sorted out.
I knew you guys would be a corrupting influence on me.
Oh, please.
Are we disturbing your evening?
Yeah, actually. You got me arrested.
You deserve to get arrested.
You must be Julia's white knight. Guess that makes sense.
What's that supposed to mean?
You had to find a blind dude to look past what she is.
You have no idea what she is. If either of us needed saving, it was me.
Look, G5, all we want is for Thomas and Junior to be able to move on without looking over their shoulder. So why don't you just take the money and be done with it?
Don't lecture me. You gotta sit over there and make jokes because you know you gotta get out of jail free card.
Because we didn't do anything illegal.
Oh, because you got friends. You guys get locked up, make a phone call, somebody does you a favor. You think they ain't gonna find a reason to keep me locked up? Even after you guys go free from some misunderstanding?
Oh, please.
No, he's right. How many people you have that you can call when you need help? Food, money, a place to crash. People think the worst thing about being poor is not having money. When you're really poor, it ain't about the money. When you have nothing, it's like you're on one side of a wall and everybody else and everything you need is on another side and you can't do nothing about it. But your problem is that you want to get out of jail free card for yourself. It doesn't work that way.
Don't act like you know me.
I don't know you. But I know what it's like to ride a garbage truck every day, going down the same street, seeing the same people, picking up the same trash. And those people give tips to the mailman, but don't think twice about me. But it's not about what people can do for you. It's about what you can do for them. You think it's nice having those young ladies owe you? I'll tell you something better. How about having God himself owe you? I don't expect you're much of a Bible reader, but the Bible says when you're kind to the poor, God himself is in your debt. You're on the wrong side of the deal, man.
Come here with me. We got your wife on the phone. We got to run up the chain, but your story seems to be checking out.
Hey, hold on. Julia.
Frank, are you guys okay? What in the world happened?
It's a long story. I'll tell you all about it when we get there.
At least tell us what happened with the G5 guy.
If I could, I'm so relieved.
You know, technically,
know you're joking, but I actually might take you up on that.
No, I'm not joking, brother. You just say the word.
Hey, quick question. Do you still have your wedding dress?
Yeah.
Chuck makes a very good point. Most of us have a safety net to help us overcome some of the roadblocks in life. If any of us begin to experience any kind of trouble, we have someone we can turn to help us in our time of need. Or we may be actually someone else's safety net, which they can depend upon when they face challenges in life. A couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, we talked about how no matter the situation, we told our children or our loved ones that as long as we have a place to stay, you have a place to stay. And you can always come home, or if you need something, we are just a phone call away. Now, a lot of us will say we came from some very humble beginnings, but I know that we can each proudly say that our parents were excellent providers. You know, Pelzella's father had a guard. We had food to eat. We had a warm bed to sleep in. We had clothes on our backs. And our parents, despite their, I don't say lack, but their achievement, educational achievement, they made sure that every one of their children had an opportunity to achieve the very best in life. Failure was not an option. But by contrast, for those who are poor, it isn't just about money. It's about the absence of a support network. So one single misfortune, an unexpected cost in their life, an automobile accident, a medical complication, or just an unjust incarceration can mean the difference between barely paying the rent and finding yourself on the streets. Now, to be one of the richest nations and most blessed nations in the world, we don't always treat the poor and our seniors very fairly.
That's right.
Last week in the Senate hearings, the senator from Texas, Senator Al Green, was questioning Ben Carson about the $6 billion budget cut in the services to the poor. Senator Green became quite frustrated with Dr. Carson because of, one, his lack of knowledge and answers to his questions on how these cuts would affect the people who needed them most. He told Dr. Carson, he said, you know, there's a theory or a thought within this country that the rich need more to do more, but the poor need less to do more. You know, for a man whose mother and grandmother sacrificed so much for him to be one of the greatest surgeons in the world, I wonder if he has the sense that God had given him.
Amen.
Clarence Thomas is another one of those who have benefited from that. But, you know, Dr. Carson actually thinks on a larger extent what he calls the state of mind. He believes that you can take somebody who has the right mindset and you can take everything from them, put them on the streets, and in a little while, they'll be right back to the top. He thinks that helping people might not make their lives better.
Wow.
So I would say to Mr. Carson or Dr. Carson, tell the people in Puerto Rico not having clean water and power is just a state of mind? Well, what about those thousands of children in Flint, Michigan, whose lives have been transformed and who would have lasting health problems because of drinking contaminated water? Or the children in our own community who go to school hungry or come home hungry every day or go home where there's no real adult supervision being experienced or exposed to things that children should not be exposed to.
That's right.
Or the million of seniors who depend on the Meals on Wheels program because that may be the very only meal that they get or human contact they have in any day.
That's right.
Or what about the assistance that these funding has to help people pay their utility bills? Mm-hmm. Or assistance to have amenities for their homes to make their homes more energy efficient? And in some cases, things that we take for granted, like indoor plumbing and indoor toilets. Mm-hmm. There are still people who don't have that.
That's right.
So the question for Dr. Carson and for us here today is, if you had to choose from paying your rent or buying food, which one would you do?
Amen.
Theologian C.S. Lewis said, we should not waste our time worrying if we love our neighbor. We should act as if we love
Amen.
Our neighbor.
Amen.
And as Christians, if we say we love God, then we should have a special concern for the poor as Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
We should feed the poor. We should secure justice for the poor. And we should uphold causes that are in the benefit of the poor.
That's right.
You see, when you help others, there's no special talent or gifts necessary to show kindness or love.
Amen.
But Jesus demands our personal involvement in caring for others.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
John 15:9-17 says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands, and made myself at home in his love. And I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. So Jesus says, this is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends, and when you do things I command you, I'm no longer calling you my servant, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you.
Amen.
And put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. And as fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives to you. So remember, the root of the command is to love one another.
Amen.
We are to show love and mercy for everybody in need.
Mm-hmm.
And if Christians who had resources would help needy fellow Christians, then non-Christians would believe in that song, Jesus is love.
Amen.
Such love for others glorifies God by reflecting our love for him. We have to develop a lifestyle that's loving, so that good deeds naturally flow from us.
Amen.
And it's a normal part of our conduct of how we carry ourselves throughout our lives. If God is patient with us, we got to be patient with the person who gets on our last nerve.
Amen.
And we can't be quick to know what God's will is, because the deed that we think is small or casual, God may think it's really big and valuable. And the deed that we think is the big deal, God might say, that's just a little deal.
Amen.
Simple acts of kindness and generosity can build into larger opportunities for us to show kindness and love. You know what? It's the small things that count.
Amen.
Making sure somebody has a ride to church or to the afternoon program.
Mm-hmm.
taking time to reach out to your neighbor if they're homebound, or just taking them to the grocery store when you go to the grocery store, or just calling them on the phone and having a little chit chat so that you let them know, I care about you and I do care what happens to you. Galatians 5:6 tells us, but we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness of God, the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love.
Amen.
Love is the greatest.
Amen.
And 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, if I could speak all the languages in the world and on earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had a gift of prophecy, and if I stood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about. But if I didn't love others, I wouldn't have gained nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So repeat after me. Love.
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 Love. It's all about love.
It's all about love.
Amen. Amen.
Proverbs 19:7 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will repay him for what he has done. Did you catch that? Kindness to the poor is lending to God. That's an amazing thing. Christians like to say that everything from God is grace, and that's true. But God tells us that he puts himself in the position of the debtor to repay the kindness we show to the poor. You give kindness to the poor, God gives you an IOU. It's interesting when you stop to think about the people we show kindness towards and the people we don't. You give a tip to a well-dressed young man at a restaurant who drives our car 100 yards to the parking lot. But we don't give a tip to a man like my friend Chuck who picks up our garbage week after week. There are people we don't see. Opportunities for kindness we never notice because we build walls around ourselves. Outside the wall, it feels like no one cares for them, like they have no friends, no safety net when things get hard. To the people inside, we miss out on a thousand different ways we can make our lives beautiful through acts of kindness and love. A thousand people could become a part of a true community in a place where there are no walls, only an open table. Most of us have get out of jail free cards. People we could call on if we lost our jobs or our homes or found ourselves in trouble. But what would it be like if you had no one in the world to help you in your hour of need? The next time you see your sanitation worker, maybe you should give him a gift. Here's someone who takes the dirtiest junk out of your life. Maybe you should give him something beautiful. Or maybe it's not a sanitation worker, but someone you pass every day on the way to work or on the way to school. Or a friend struggling through a tough time. You can be a get-out-of-jail-free card for someone in need. So who among you can show the most unexpected generosity to the most unlikely person? Following Christ is an adventure, and God promises to transform our small acts of kindness in this fleeting world into great blessings in eternity.
One of my favorite movies is the Antoine Fisher movie. I don't know if you all have seen it. And as Antoine Fisher is releasing himself to Denzel Washington, he gives him a gift, and I'm going to end on his poem. And I think it's very appropriate for us as we think about how we help others that are less fortunate than we are. Who would cry for the little boy lost and all alone? Who would cry for the little boy, abandoned without his own? Who would cry for the little boy? He cried himself to sleep. Who would cry for the little boy? He never had for keeps. Who would cry for the little boy? He walked the burning sand. Who would cry for the little boy? The boy inside the man. Who would cry for the little boy who knows well hurt and pain? Who would cry for the little boy? He died and died again. Who would cry for the little boy? A good boy he tried to be. Who would cry for the little boy who cries inside of me? As a family of believers, what do you think about that? God calls us to love those different from us. Are you willing to cry for the little boy? Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be Christians. We want to be holy, and we want to be just like Jesus. But we understand that this is a journey, and that in order to do those things you would have us to do, we need to love more. We need to care for those who are less fortunate than us, and we need to let people know that we are there for them in the small ways and not just in big ways. So as we part and exit to serve from this congregation, from this fellowship, let us remember that love conquers all. And when we do what it is that you command us to do, to love you with all our heart, all our might, and all our soul, that we also are to love our neighbors as we would love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our invitational hymn is, Are You Ready for the Change?